Welcome back to the Homeschooled Podcast, you guys. This episode is brought to you by MasterClass. MasterClass.com, you might have heard of it. Basically, you can learn anything on MasterClass in the comfort of your own home, on your own schedule. Click the link in the description. I mean, Steve Martin teaches a comedy class. They have like Judd Apatow's comedy writing class. They have acting classes. Taught by Samuel L. Jackson. And I mean, just this week, they released a Carlos Santana class for guitar. I mean, it's insane. And click the link in the description. And it's $90 per class, or you can do 180 and have access to the entire website for a year. So you can take all the classes if you want, or, you know, whichever ones you want to do on your own schedule. So it seems like a no-brainer to do the 180 and get access to everything. And they just keep adding more classes on there. And if they add one after you've already purchased your one-year subscription, you have access to it. And this episode is also brought to you by DeLorean Motor Company watches. That's right, guys. The DeLorean Motor Company makes watches. They're fucking really unique, really cool. I mean, I have mine, and people always compliment me all the time. And it's the holiday season. I think it'd be a great gift, especially if you have somebody who's like nostalgic about the 80s or like movies. I mean, mostly Back to the Future fans love that fucking watch. So what you're going to do is click the link in the description. You'll get 15% off your order. And that's pretty much it, you guys. The holidays are upon us. These are some great gift ideas, and you're supporting the Homeschool Podcast at the same time. I'm Augustino Zoida. My co-host Kevin Lyon is sick today, so he's not here. But we do have our guest, Josh Adam Myers, in the building. And let's get this shit started.
What, Terry?
Hell yeah, bro. You can hear it from here, can't you?
Of course, yeah.
Time it down. She got a little face. She got a skeeva do. And yabba dabba dabba deeba do.
That's the words.
Those are the words. Those are the official words of that song. You always open up with this song?
No.
So why did you choose? Is this where you thought this would work for me? You're matching? You think I'm a Buck Cherry fan?
I don't know, are you?
Not at all, dude.
To tell you the truth, when I hear a song, I like it. I like write it down.
So you wrote down Crazy Bitch by Buck Cherry.
Probably like a month ago.
You just finally heard it?
Yeah, because I put all these songs in a list, and then I play them. I have some songs that are good to open with, some songs that are good to close with.
It's that, I mean, I can only imagine like if that how popular that song must have been at strip clubs when it first came out. I can only imagine. You know, I remember seeing a video of somebody at their wedding when they were walking down the aisle. That was like the song they played for the wife. Yeah, and she was like all into it and like, yeah, like the family's like, what are you doing? We flew here from Florida.
What year do you think that song is?
If I have to guess, that song came out. Are you going to check to see? I'd say if I had to guess, that came out in 2006.
I'll check it out.
2006, I'm guessing.
Hang on, let's see.
Bring me down. She got a little face. She got a skeeva do.
She got a little face.
That's, I don't know the words, but I mean, everybody listening is like, sounds right.
Let's see. Wow. 2005.
Ah, God, I was so close.
Recorded God, in 2005.
I was so close. Well, now I know. And now the audience knows.
Do me a favor. Push your microphone away from you a little bit because you're a little louder away than me. Yeah, push
I'm
it away
definitely
from
you. Louder than you.
Yeah.
In here?
There you go.
Perfect.
That's perfect. Okay, cool. Good to have you on finally, man.
Finally.
Yeah.
Because this took a long time.
I don't know why
it took so long. It was just, I apologize that it took me so long. I don't do anything. I work, I work and I hang out with my dog and that's my life.
That sounds like, awesome, dude.
It really is. I've never been happier in my whole life. And I mean, it's like, you know, I'm working on projects that I love, that excite me, not doing what by anything by Hollywood standards. I've taken control of everything in my life.
Yeah.
And then I got a dog a few years ago. And as we were talking earlier, I mean, besides like the, you know, the, the her getting sick like she did today and having to go to the vet, I mean, it's the greatest experience of my life having this dog.
I know exactly what you mean, man. Yeah. I grew up with dogs. I fucking love dogs, dude. I had a childhood dog that lived all the way until I was like 24.
Yeah.
And when he passed, dude, that was fucking heartbreaking. And my dog now, like, I get so attached really easily.
Yeah, it's that you know why? Because it's, you work in a business and in a town that is just a rat race, and it's, you're constantly getting no and no and no, and then you go home and you get yes
every day,
and it's nonstop love. I mean, you'll see tonight at the show, the first 5 minutes of my set is about how great dogs are.
Oh, I haven't really seen you do that.
Yeah, it's just a joke. Like, it's, you know, the long and short of it is this, is just that human beings don't deserve dogs. We don't deserve a perfect being that is so special. Like, humans are so imperfect, we don't deserve dogs.
Yeah.
We deserve cats. Because cats fucking suck. And and that's the kind of pet that humans should deserve. One that judges you and, like, looks at you like you're a fuckface. You know what I mean? It's... Dogs are just so great, and I recommend to any person that might be listening to this, if you don't have a dog, get one and just make it work. If you're like, I can't, my schedule or my, you know, but my building won't allow it. There are so many ways to get around all of that. You might have to work a little bit harder and maybe shell a couple bucks out for a dog sitter or a dog walker, but ultimately, even if you spend, you know, out of a 7-day week, if you tally up all the time, if you spend, you know, 40 hours a week with the dog, I mean, it's just so worth it.
It's so worth it. You can do so many things, man. You used to have to go to a weed doctor, right, to get your card to smoke weed, and you can go to the same doctor and tell them that you got anxiety, and they'll give you.
Is that true?
Yes, they'll give you the license to have the dog
for emotional support. I didn't know that. That's actually good to know.
A landlord can actually, like, it's illegal for them to say that you can't have the dog if you have that license.
Dude, my building, on the sign out front, it says no pets, and there's three dogs that live there. And I remember the day I woke up almost 2 years ago from today. My neighbor moved in and he had a dog, and I remember the building manager was like, you know, it was just like, yeah, he moved in and we signed the lease, gave him the keys. And then he goes, oh yeah, here's the emotional support certificate. I have a 80-pound German Shepherd. And so I asked him, how do I get that certificate? He told me how to do it that morning. I signed up for this service animal service emotional support certificate. A therapist called me, wrote me the note, because I explained everything to him, and he goes, dude, you know, hearing, because I just opened up, and he was like, yeah, dude, you definitely need an emotional support dog. I give these away to everybody, but you need it.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And then I picked out the dog that I wanted to, called the lady, said, is the dog available? She goes, yep. And I was like, I'll be there at 6 to pick her up. And then I called my building manager and the owner of the building. He does both. And he came over and I sat him down. I was like, you know, I was so nervous. And I was like, man, I don't know. You know, I know you know what's going on, what's happened to me in my life. And he's like, yeah. He's like, I know. I read, you know, online about the accident and stuff I was in, and I was like, well, I'm getting a dog. And he goes, great, you have the certificate? And I go, yep. And I gave it to him. He was like, perfect. And okay, then he walked my dog. He used to watch her. It was a perfect situation. Cool, man. I've got a very good community at the complex.
You know who told me about that weed doctor thing was Adam Hunter.
Really?
He went and did that with his little dog, and he can take it on the plane with him.
Everything. You can do everything. My dog could be a service animal if I just work a little bit harder. If I spend a month just brushing up on certain things that for training wise to make her 100% perfect. Like, I mean, really, like, give her like a good hour a day of training. She could be a service animal.
Yeah.
She's that good.
Well, yeah, it's good to have you here, man. You have no idea. When you have a podcast, don't you?
I do.
Yeah, it's so fucking hard to, like, have all the stars align every week. I do two a week. For like your schedule, your co-host schedule, the guest schedule.
I can imagine.
It's fucking insane. Dude, I'm supposed to have TJ Miller on pretty soon, and I've been in touch with him, and he's just like, yeah, work it out, the scheduling with my manager. And I've been in touch with the manager, and they're like, well, he lives in New York, and, you know, he comes to LA every now and then, and they're like, he's going to be in Northern California. And I was like, in February, I was like, oh, fuck, me too. I'm in San Jose. I'm like, let's do it up there. And then they're like, oh, no, he's not there that week. So it's just like a mess. Like, we're going to end up doing like a Skype with him.
Yeah.
It's fucking insane.
With mine, it's like, you know, I do a podcast where it's called The 500 with Josh. Can I do my plug?
Yeah,
I do the It's called the 500 with Josh Adam Myers. It's a record book club. We're taking Rolling Stone's list of the 500 greatest albums of all time, and I give my and I'm starting at 500, working my way down to one over the next 9.61 years. And so each week I give, you know, and I'm going for like huge names. Like I've had Burr on it, Jim Jefferies. I have Jason Momoa coming up. I have Wanda Sykes. Like I'm calling every favor. They get a week with their album, and then I break the album down, find out the meaning of the songs, the facts about the record, about the artist. And then I ask them questions around the song meanings and the facts. And it's really just a discussion. But when you're dealing with people like TJ Miller, or you're dealing with Joey Diaz, or you're dealing with, you know, Bill Burr or whoever, it's like to lie, like you said, man, it's like I've been, me and Sinbad's doing a record next week, and we've been trying to work it out for the last 2.5 weeks to get him in. And I can't, like, I need him to be next because his album, I'm going in order. And if I can't get him in the next like 2 weeks, like I got to move on. I got to find a different guy for that record. And it's tough, man. But if you love it, which like I would do my podcast even if no one was listening. And because I just want to experience these albums. I want to like be opened up to some of the greatest recorded music in the history of mankind. And so it's, the work and the scheduling can be a pain in the ass, but then when I finish that recording and I send it off to my producer, like it's such a great feeling.
What happens when you hit the number one from 500 to one? That's it. It's over.
9 points. I mean, it might, and I can tell you right now. Maybe I'm just, you know, believing in myself too much. But number one's going to be Oprah. I'm getting Oprah.
Yeah,
100%. I'm gonna have Barack Obama and Oprah in the final. It's 9.61 years, man, and this is already really starting to catch on. Like we're doing really, really well, and I just want more people involved because I feel most people don't, you know. We're all stuck in our ways. Like, you know, you probably listen. Dude, you just found out about Buckcherry, for Christ's sake.
I didn't just find out about them.
Yeah, you did. That's what you said to me when we were all
I did not see
you just
that.
Found out about Buckcherry, people.
I didn't what say I'm just saying, found out about
what
it.
What I'm saying is this, is that we're all stuck in our ways. Like, we know, we listen to about 40 artists, about 100 records, because that's what we listen to as kids. That's what we listen to in high school. That's what we listen to in college. And then once you start getting to a certain age, you just don't search for new music anymore, nor do you go back and listen to older music. So this is a way to, like, put all this shit in front of you. And I think, you know, as I've been seeing as we're growing, it's just like we, you know, people are really starting to enjoy it, and I'm having the time of my life making these. So it's everything that we do. It just has to be, there has to be love behind it.
Yeah.
Cause that's people, you know, they feel that. They feel that. So I'm just, I completely understand what you're
I enjoy doing my podcast. I mean, we mostly talk about stand up, and that's what that's what I love. And I love talking about it. I really could talk about it. It's
nothing
all
better.
Day. Right,
nothing better than the hell gigs.
And once a month on here, we do this this thing called Laughter Piece Theater. It's a segment I do on here once a month where I just play some of my favorite stand up tracks and we just kind of break them down, talk about them and stuff. Which
fuck yeah,
it's just great, dude.
That's great.
It's the fucking best, man. I was just thinking about something when you were driving over here that I just remembered.
It's 9 inches.
I was in the shower when I thought this.
Wide. It's girthy.
So in 2009,
yeah,
in February, I stepped on stage for the first time ever, and it was at an open mic at the Improv, and I remember that you were there.
Wow.
Yeah. You didn't know me. You probably wouldn't even remember if I was there because I was, you know, it was my first day, and I just sat in the back, and I was really nervous, and I was just watching all you. It was like you, Melissa Villasenor, and like Gerard Carmichael, and
that was the crew, man. It was me, Ange. Angelo Bowers, Gerard Carmichael, Rel Battle, John Tomaszewski, Nathan Hurd, Melissa. I mean, there was a Jade Catapretta, Tony Hinchcliffe. It was a really
good... You guys
had
such a strong, like, little clique. Like, that was your crew that, like, I showed up acting like I showed up feeling like... This, like, these guys have known each other for years, and I'm like new, and I felt like a little intimidated. Like, you feel like the new kid in the school.
Mm-hmm.
And I just sat back there quietly and watched you guys. I remember you got on stage, and at the time, they were really popular. You got a stage, and the first thing out of your mouth was like, you're like, I'm like one of the Jonas Brothers, like after crack or something like that.
Sounds like an early joke of mine.
Yeah, like early on, bro. Yeah. I'll never forget that, dude. But just fucking crazy.
What a cool thing to hear, man. That, you know, somebody else said that to me recently. John Renitsky, from the former Saturday Night Live cast member, he said, and I didn't even realize it, he's like, you hosted the first show I ever did at the Comedy Store, the first stand-up set of his life. I hosted it, and it's just insane. It's just really like the people that we cross paths with at different times, you know, it's fantastic. And it's still to this day, like that, just you saying that, just, you know, I don't think about the beginning as much as I used to. It's like, you know, me and the guys that I started with don't ever really get to spend that much time together. A few of them I see on a regular basis, but I haven't seen Gerard in, you know, probably 6-7 months. And even when I saw him, it was so quick that we talked for a few minutes and that's it. We text every once in a while, but, you know, it's great to see that those people that I started with are doing really well.
Doing great things.
Yeah, man. And it's crazy how, you know, it, just same thing with you. It's like you, like we all find our group, and it was just nuts that all of the people that I found in my group were people that went on to do stuff. You know, there was a show, the first improv show I ever did. Rita, who is now the GM of the improv, set up this show. It was called the Best of the Open Mic, not New Faces. It was like a freshman class. That's what she called it. And on the first show, this is most of our first shows ever at the improv, and not open mic, like a first show. It was like on a Sunday night, like a real show. It was, the lineup was me, Angelo, Yasser Lester, Tony Hinchcliffe, Benji Aflalo, Jade Catapretta, Gerard, Byron Bowers, Rel Battle, and I might be forgetting, and this guy named Jono, who was Sarah Silverman's cousin, and he was all loud and big, and he was just so annoying. I mean, if I'm calling him annoying, but I can imagine how annoying I was. But it was just like Rita picked that show out, and she saw something in all of us. You know what I mean? And dude, at that time, I had only been doing stand-up for 2 months, really doing stand-up. And I was probably the last guy booked, but she saw something. You know, it's really crazy to see, be able to look at people at that age in the game and say, these people are going to do something, you know, and she was right. The only person that I think isn't doing anything is Jono. Cause I think he like works at like a Toyota dealership in Boston, but he's happy, you know, or at least that's what his Facebook page makes it seem. But, you know.
And that was the guy that was Silverman's cousin or whatever?
Yeah, he was just this big, loud, boisterous guy. And I mean, I was a mess back then. I mean, so me and him used to fight all the time. But ultimately, you know, I wish him the best. And I think he's probably doing great. He's married. He's probably got a much more comfortable life than I do. But I'm doing pretty good.
I always, you said you were a mess back then. I don't remember.
Oh, I was a mess. I was a mess until about a year ago.
Really?
Well,
since I've known you, you like have been like clean off of everything.
Well, that's not true.
Really?
That's not true at all. I mean, I'm not even clean now, but I don't do any chemical drugs. I smoke pot.
But you don't drink, right?
I don't drink.
Since I've known you, you don't drink.
No, I've never drank, but I was addicted to painkillers for many, many, many years. I've been off of them for about 2.5 years, going on 3. But I don't mean a mess as so much drugs. I mean a mess as mentally. I mean in loving myself and things like that. Like I held a lot of resentments for, you know, and created, my ego destroyed a lot of friendships. And not even so much that I'm not cool with these people anymore, because a lot of these people I am cool with and I always was cool with, but I just, like I said, it all starts at me not loving myself. And so over the last year, I was, you know, I really worked on myself, you know, going to EMDR hypnotherapy, which is rapid eye movement hypnotherapy, which is fantastic. I go to a spiritual guide who taught me about transcendental meditation. And once I started meditating, I started becoming more mindful of myself and my surroundings and how to treat people and how I want to be treated and, you know, how to get negative things out of my life and really just surround myself around, you know, positive energy. And that's basically everything in my life since I started doing that has changed completely. And I mean, and I was successful prior to that, but I've never been more depressed than when I was at, when the TV show was being made and when the TV show came out. I isolated in my apartment for about 4 months. And you know, after a while, it's like, it doesn't make a difference. Like if you're going out and you're working, it was like, I can never be happy. So even as I was building my career and it was going really well, I was never happy because I never could enjoy the moment because I always wanted more. And now I'm able to like step back and go, yeah, this is great. Like I'm here with my buddy in a fucking garage talking about what I love.
Yeah.
Instead of being like, oh man, like, you know, why aren't I on Rogan's podcast? Because do you know what I mean? It's just like these, dude, yeah. The best moment of our lives is the moment that you're in right now because you got it. That's all you have. You don't have the future and you don't have the past anymore. So just living this moment and being able to be present is the greatest gift. That's why it's called present, because it's a gift to be able to be in that moment. And once I started doing that and working on myself, that's when I got out of the mess. I'm not saying I'm not still a mess. I have messy qualities, but I'm able to like, you know, work through it. I don't carry around, you know, guilt and resentment for other people and other things. I'm just happy.
That's great to hear, man.
Thanks, man.
But you think that when the show was out, you were like really, really depressed all the time?
I had been, well, you know, and the listeners don't know, I had lost my friend Angelo Bowers, one of the greatest comics in the world, funniest person I've ever met, sweetest person I've ever met. And when I lost Ange, that was why I did drugs, because that was my brother. And so I had, you know, I'd spent after, you know, we lost Ange, I spent 7 months on like hardcore painkillers and then cleaned up. And then I started like working towards like getting better and working on my career again and really pushing. And then I got new faces at Just for Laughs, which is a huge deal.
Yeah.
You know, not as big as it used to be, but it's still, I'm not going to downplay it. Like I'm very proud of that accolade. And when I went there, I wanted so much, you know, because that can change your life. New Faces is this show that, you know, they pick out 20 people from around the world that are comics, and they say, these are the next big things. And then they all do this show at the Just for Laughs Comedy Festival. And it was like me, Andrew Santino, Pete Davidson, Alice Wetterland, Andrew Schultz, Aparna Nancharla. And it just went on. These great comics, Brooks Wheelan. And I went there and I did okay. But nothing happened. And I had to go back to my day job. And then I just got really depressed. And then I was like so fed up with stand-up. I was just like, I don't know what to do anymore. I mean, I thought this was supposed to change my life. I'm still working at a day job and everybody I went to New Faces with is doing shit.
Yeah.
So that was when I created the goddamn Comedy Jam. And the Jam is this show to the listeners. It's pretty popular. It combines my two favorite things, comedy and music. Comics go on stage. They do stand-up. Then they tell a story about why they chose the song they're going to sing. And then they sing it with a live band. Sounds cheesy, but the execution is like real rock star, punk rock, real fucking like, it's insane how much fun it is. And that show came out of me not knowing what to do. And I said, fuck it, man. I just want to have fun. That's all I want to do is have fun. I'm sick of being depressed. I'm going to do something that I think once a month, even if my career is not going anywhere, this will be fun for me to do. And then my life started changing because all the attention started coming to me. Everybody started coming to the show. Industry started coming. We sold it as a TV show. We started doing festivals all the time. But I, like I said, it all ultimately comes back to me not loving myself. So I wasn't able to enjoy any of it because I didn't feel like I deserved it. So then I started doing drugs again. And then it just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And my drug addiction became bigger and bigger and bigger. And then I got sober. And then I cleaned up after about like 2 years doing the jam, and we were getting ready to shoot the TV show, and I got clean, and then I just got depressed because I didn't want to ruin my life by like I was figuring like if I just isolate and I don't go out every night, I just do stand up when I get shows, but as long as I just come home right away, spend my days at home, because now I had money, you know, and I was like, I don't want to fuck this up. Don't want to lose this money. I don't want to lose this apartment. I don't want to lose my car. I don't want to lose any of that. So don't ruin it. So stay safe, stay at home. And I just stopped doing shows. I wasn't going out and doing shows. I was just literally doing the jam, maybe doing one or two spots a week. Wasn't looking, wasn't calling in my avails. And people would ask me to do a show, I'd do it. But I just didn't care. I wasn't writing new material. I wasn't like pushing myself. And that was like the big change was then, you know, I think a year after the show we had taped the TV show was when I met this girl, and, you know, she's like this pretty big rock star. We started dating and I opened up to her about everything. And then she was like, you know, listen, I want to help you, but you need to keep your mind open. And I was like, okay. And she took me to this energy reader in Ojai. And this guy works with some of the biggest actors, some of the biggest musicians, like, ever. Like, whoever you're thinking when I'm saying a big rock star, like, go up to, like, the highest of the high. Like, talking like, you know, she played with some of the best names out there. And so this guy, I meet with him, and he's like, he tells me he's going to read my energy, you know, and basically clear this negative, you know, like the way that, like, you got to look at it like this is like when you're born, you know, a baby, your consciousness is completely clean. So, you know, there's no ego attached to it yet. There's no like, you know, you're like off the grid. You know what I mean? You don't have like, you have no like, you know, college student loan debts. Like, you're just this perfect being. But as we grow and get older and we start getting neuroses and, you know, and different traumas happen to us, it just covers up your consciousness. So you just put another filter on top of it and another filter. So you're not seeing clearly. So this guy's like, I'm going to clear that. And so we meditated a few times, and on the third meditation, I had this out-of-body experience, and he goes, so listen, what's going to happen is you're going to be riding this high for a while, but I'm going to let you know it's all going to come back, all that dirt and all that stuff, unless you keep working on it. And then shortly after that, I started doing all the meditation and started working on myself because I wanted to get to the root of why I wasn't happy. And then it was like everything changed, you know? I don't even know if what I said made sense, but
I follow you, man.
Did you? Good. Cause I was like, I don't even know what the original question was. I just love talking about meditation cause it's my favorite thing to do in the world.
I've been meditating before I go on stage for about a year now. And it just really, it just calms me down. I don't know what it is. I can't place my finger on it. I've talked about it with a few people before about, you know, a lot of it's just like how strong the mind really is.
Yeah.
And, I have better sets when I do it.
For sure.
It's, I mean, I
look at it like this. You go to the gym. I'm looking at, we're in his studio, and his studio is really beautiful. It's furnished completely. It's not cold at all. But you've got like all this workout equipment for your body, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So you work out your body, and, right, and people are like, well, if I work out and I take care and I put good food in my body and I take care of myself, then I'm going to be fine. But your brain is the biggest muscle in your body and the most important one. And meditation is basically taking time for your brain to, you're just working your brain out. But by working it out, all you've got to do, if you do transcendental, is just lay there, not lay, but sit upright, close your eyes, maybe put on some like ambient music, you know, and you just start, you just have your mantra and you say it over. And I mean, I say very positive things to me when I'm meditating. Very pods, a lot of stuff about love, a lot of things about strength. And it's like you're just training your brain to rip those weeds out, man, of, like I was saying, that consciousness, all the, that baggage that you're carrying around and I'm carrying around and everybody's carrying around. It's all meditation is just ripping those weeds out. So you're clearing all that dirt so you can be, you can think clearer. So when you're meditating, like a thought will come into your head. It's like, oh my God, I don't like that guy. And that guy's trying to destroy me. But then you can step back and go, no, he's not. Like, he never did anything. And then it just floats away. So when you see it in the outside world, it's a lot easier to deal with.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck. Yeah, man. Yeah, I like it, dude. I don't know, I mean I do know what it is, but it's just I don't like to listen to music, or at least I haven't tried it. I like to just be in peace and quiet.
Here's what I want you to do.
Yeah.
This is what I want you to do every day.
Yeah.
For the next week, I want you to do this. First thing you do when you wake up in the morning, right? First thing, I want you to sit on your bed, sit upright, like you're in a seat, like this one.
Okay.
Don't lay down.
Okay.
Because then it's sleeping. Sit in a chair. I take like a beanie and I cover my eyes like this, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the sunlight doesn't come in. And just take your headphones and go to Spotify or whatever way you get your music and just type in like meditation music or meditation playlist and put that in and just put your headphones in. Set your timer for 20 minutes. Make sure that it's on airplane mode so nobody can call you, nobody can text you.
Right.
And then just do 21 breaths. To start, close your eyes and do 21 breaths start. 7 out of just your nose, 7 out of your nose and your mouth, and then 7 out of just your mouth. And I know this doesn't sound weird. And then you just gotta, I want you to say things to yourself. I don't want to give you a mantra because I don't know how you get a mantra. But I want you to say positive things to yourself. Like, I am love. I am strength. I am the mountain. Set an intention also every morning, right when you start meditating. Set an intention in your head for the day. Like, my intention today is to be strong. My intention today is to be confident. My intention today is to be loving. Just say that, and then just breathe and just keep saying, I am strength, I am love, I am the mountain. And just say like very positive things to yourself, you know, or just say, I am love, or just say, I love you. Over and over again. And thoughts are going to come in. And when they come in, I want you just to go back to the mantra. I love you. I love you. I love you. And then after 20 minutes, you know, the alarm's going to go off. And just go about your day. And do that for 1 week. Every day.
All right, man.
First thing in the morning. People that are listening, do that to yourselves every day. I promise you. Promise you. Everything will be easier that day. Because I meditated for 9 months straight. I went on vacation and I was so busy for the first 3 days of the trip, I wasn't able to meditate. I just didn't. And on that third day, I was like, my life is falling apart. My career is going nowhere. This person hates me. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. And then on that fourth day, I meditated and I was like, why was I stressing out? Dude, it's like, it makes everything easier. And that's not saying I don't freak out still.
Sure. Yeah.
But I can handle it.
But it's getting control over it.
Yep.
Yeah, the mind is so fucking powerful, dude. It really, really is. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were talking about this a couple episodes ago about how there's so many people that just like, well, they envy or they want or they need. I wish I was there. I wish I was further. Or I wish I could, you know, travel. I want to go to Paris. I wish I can live in this place like this person does. But you're never gonna be happy where you are if you're not okay with yourself first.
Gotta love yourself. Gotta love yourself. Because, you know what, dude, if someone said to you the shit that you say to yourself, you'd fucking punch them. You're a fucking idiot. How many times you said, I'm a fucking idiot. I'm fucking stupid. Oh, why the fuck would I do that? I can't tell you the mean things I've said to myself. Now I catch myself, dude. 2 days ago, I did something and I was like, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe it was, I had a bad set at the improv, you know? And I was like, why did I do that joke wrong? Why, you fucking idiot? You're up in front of the booker on this great lineup. I didn't have a bad set. I didn't have the sets I'm used to, but I was like, I'm about to start beating myself up, and I stopped myself and I was just like, and then I go, you know, it's a mistake. I didn't ruin my career. I didn't ruin, you know, the booker's still going to book me. But in my head, I was like about to shit on myself, dude. So now it says you got to be good to yourself. And the first thing to do that is to like get negative, get all that negativity out of your life, man. You know, cut negative people off. You know, why would you want to hang out with somebody that's negative? Because I take energy. So if I'm with you and you're negative, I'll start being negative. Mm. It's just the way that I am. That's how I was. Dude, I was visiting my mom, and my mom is, I love my mom to death, but man, she's just a fucking martyr, and she's just miserable. And I get it, because she wants to live in the past, and she just wants to be, she wants to blame others for her unhappiness. And I couldn't wait to leave. And I told my mom, I was like, Mom, if you wonder why I don't come home that often, it's because of this. You know, and I'm like, if you want me to come home sooner, I want you to sign up for fucking therapy. You show me you're going to a therapist and I'll buy my plane ticket home.
Yeah.
Now to come back in June. I'll buy it now instead of dicking around and waiting. Because it's a matter of just like you have this light, right? And when you're around negative people, you know, that light gets dimmer. So all you want is to surround yourself around people that are making that light burn bright. Sure. That's it, man. It's just your soul is so perfect. But when you surround yourself around negative energy, it just gets dimmer and dimmer. And, you know, I realized, Augustino, that I was so miserable for the first 37 years of my life. Just miserable. You know, I wasn't a bad person. I was living in the past and I was living in that negative lifestyle. And so I decided if I'm lucky, I get another 37 years, you know, and I was like, I'm going to make sure for the second half of my life, I'm going to work my ass off. I'm going to take control of my life. But most importantly, I'm going to be very good to myself, put good foods in my body, fucking, you know, be on a routine. Every morning I'm up at 7 a.m. Every night I'm in bed, usually around midnight, you know, work out the same time, eat the same time, eat the same foods, like, you know, no more processed foods. Just put good shit into my body, man. Like, you've got to... Craziest shit I've ever heard. A strip club manager told me this once, which, so I can't believe I'm about to take this advice and give it to somebody. But he said, if you had one car your whole life, right? This is it. You're born, you get this one car. You're going to have this car your whole life. You would take such good care of that car, right? Right?
Yeah.
Well, you got one car and it's your body.
Yeah.
And it's your mind. So wouldn't you want to put good shit in it to take care of it?
It's crazy how much we take our body for granted. Like we could just buy another one.
Yeah, dude. I have destroyed. Dude, there's a reason I'm a 39-year-old man that looks like I'm 60. You know, it's because I did a lot of drugs, man.
I never got good, dude. I mean, you look healthy.
You're now in shape. Yeah. Now I am. I mean, I look like Billy Bob Thornton, but I mean, but I'm fine with that now. Now I'm able to accept it. But I've basically turned my whole life around to where, you know, I eat the same time every day. I basically eat the same food or a variation of it every day. And everything I put into my body is like all natural. That's why I'm saying, like, people, like, if I would never do put another drug in my body that's not natural. Like, I'll only do, you know, mushrooms and marijuana and kratom and
that's it. The fuck is kratom?
Kratom is a plant from Thailand that affects the same receptors as opiates, but it's not addictive. It's legal. And when you take just a little bit of it, it gives you energy and it basically gives you a euphoric feeling.
Oh shit.
So it just makes you very happy and it's almost like an antidepressant.
I never heard about that.
Yeah, man. Unfortunately you can only buy it at like smoke shops. So you feel like a dirty motherfucker buying it, but it's fantastic. I take it almost every day.
Okay. I just got a text from,
Terry.
Yeah.
What'd she say?
She just texted me the lineup. It looks like I'm third and you're last. So we're doing good.
So we got time. Who's hosting?
Dan and Greed.
Fuck. Oh, I like him.
Yeah.
He's great.
But yeah, that's great, dude. You've seen me at my unhealthiest.
You've lost a lot of weight.
Yeah.
You've never been, you know, when I first met you, you were like run ragged. You were working and if you were working all the time and you were just the man there. But by doing that, there was a lot of stress put on you. You know, you've always been a great guy. You've always been very positive, and I think like you're extremely hardworking, extremely funny. So
thanks, man.
It's just a matter of like as you're getting older, you know, you just gotta start being considerate of your body and your mm-hmm. mind. That's why I'm like, I beg people to meditate. I'm like, dude, I tell everybody, if you want to change your life, start at meditation. Start there.
I don't think it sounds ridiculous at all. So a lot of people think that like it kind of sounds ridiculous, and, and you know, when you talk about it, you have to say like, "Hey, listen, I know it sounds crazy, but like you always have to open it with that." But I fucking believe it. And it's not even like me to believe in something like that. You know, I just can't deny the power of how strong your mind can be.
Augustino, but there people have been meditating for millions of years.
Yeah,
like I'm talking like. It's you're you know, like I never thought hypnotherapy would work, and it does. It's insane, mm-hmm. like how well it works. And I never would have thought I'd ever go to a spiritual guide, you know. But this guy does. When you like the secret, and I don't believe in the secret in the sense like I've never read the book and been like, oh, what a secret says. But one thing I do believe in the law of attraction, right? Positive and positive go together. Negative and negative work together. I dated a girl when I was depressed that was negative, right? And I was negative. So those two negatives made a positive together. But ultimately, we were both just two people that were depressed. So once I broke up with her and got that out of my life, and I love this girl to death still. I still talk to her and I hope for the best for her. But it's like you, if you're a positive person, people want to be around you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
But if you show up tonight at the comedy club and you're like, ah, fucking, I'm on fucking last. What the fuck? You know, you're going to charge me for that? Like, come on, man. I don't like that guy. That guy's a piece of shit. Dude, people don't want to be around that. People want to be around somebody that's like, oh, my, isn't this great?
Yeah.
Isn't this great?
Totally.
You know, we're in a garage studio. I'm hanging out with my buddy. Mm-hmm. We're talking about what stuff we love, trying to help people. That's fantastic. And that's the truth.
We did a whole episode on this actually with Rocco Stowe.
You know, Rocco is extremely positive.
Yeah, dude.
I like Rocco a lot, man. He's a great guy.
He does the hypnotherapy.
How you doing?
Yeah. he's the man.
Try the meatball. One time he got into my car. We were going to like a meeting together, and he literally had a meatball. He was holding a napkin underneath in one hand, and holding above that was a meatball. And he was like, try this. I just made some fresh gravy.
He's awesome, dude.
He's the best.
That's great. We're probably getting towards the end of the episode here. Let me do some shout outs really quick. Fucking losing my eyesight.
You're old.
Thanks, man. I want to give a shout out to Spectator 84, Richard O'Hall, Frunio, Nick.
What's up, Frunio?
Hell
what's
yeah.
up, Frunio?
I want to give a shout out to my buddy Eric Rocha. So speaking of which, yeah, it was great working with Eric Rocha. Thank you everybody who came out to Tembler Brewing Company this week, and that was just fucking wild. Have you done Tembler, dude? In Bakersfield?
No, I haven't.
Dude, fucking this brewery is just like they turn their huge ass. It's like the size of Big Wang's, man. They just turn it into like a fucking theater.
Oh, that's dope.
Dude, yeah, like after hours, they got this big stage and they sell out. Dude, I did it with Diaz this last Wednesday.
Oh, that's
got
to be insane.
Oh, really, dude, fun. Sold out like fucking 300 people, and you just go and they give you a bunch of fucking beer. And the people there are just so cool. So thank you guys for coming out.
Joey is such an incredible person. Like, oh, you talk about positive. Like, that dude has been through so much, and every morning he posts on Facebook, you know, wipe your balls and go out and kick ass. I told him, because I was trying to get him on the podcast, and we're going to try to find the right album for him. And I said that. I was like, I don't think you realize how much you're helping people by writing that.
Yeah.
Like, that little post reminds people. It's like, yeah, he's right, man. Go out there and fucking kick ass, dude. Because every day is a gift. Every day. This, dude, that's all we've got, man.
He's got such a crazy story of, like, how far he's come, you know what I mean? Dude?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
and he's finally getting his due.
Yeah.
Finally. And he's been deserving it for years.
Yeah, he's such a great person, great guy. I mean, we've been really close friends for years, man. I have such a ball with when I mean, besides the shows, like, yeah, we have fun, and like, you know, we really work on our sets together, and like we'll critique each other and stuff like that. But besides that, man, we just enjoy each other's company.
Yeah.
Driving back from Bakersfield this week, dude, we were like in tears laughing just over stupid shit. Dude. Like, they've closed like half their freeway because of construction.
Always
on the way back, right?
Dude, I'm telling you, I can never. Ever get anywhere, like whatever Google Maps says, is like, you know, make a right on Moore Park. Oh, it's fucking closed.
Yeah.
Happened today. Happened a fucking day. It was like I was trying to get to a vape store, and I know you're probably making fun of me, people, because I vape, but I vape to escape. And I was we needed to go to this vape store, and fucking, I had to make a right, and you can't because they're doing something to the road. Well, like always, a bunch of fuck faces.
Always driving to the gig, it's just traffic, and on the way back, you're like, oh, good, there's not going to be traffic, but they closed the freeway for fucking construction. So,
always.
So they're like, you know, the construction, they're not even really doing anything.
Never doing anything.
They're just hanging out. So, like, and I hate to fucking like put him on blast, but Joey's like fucking driving by him, and he like gets real close to the fucking cones, and he starts like honking with his window down at the construction workers. Get to work, cocksuckers. Then he starts fucking knocking over the cones one by one in his car. We were just
good
dying
on Joey
laughing.
What a great guy,
dude. It's so great.
He's the best.
Fucking pull up next to some guy who is walking his dog with his face just buried in his phone.
Joey tells him to go get your fucking face out of the goddamn,
get your life together. And we just
he's brilliant. He's one of my favorite people hanging out, man. One of my favorite people. I think as a performer, he's a force on stage, and he's such a sweet guy. And when he tells me he loves me, I believe it.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
I really
right?
do believe it.
And so let's talk about this real quick before we get out of here. One thing that's been on my mind a lot lately, and I keep bringing it up on all the episodes that I do, is how much I really push people to support live stand-up comedy, to support live entertainment.
Sure.
Because, not just because I'm a live entertainer, and obviously that's something that helps me, but that's not why I'm saying it. I don't think it does it justice to watch Netflix specials, you know? I don't think it does it justice to, like, just listen to albums. Well, I prefer to listen to albums than to watch Netflix specials. But to just – and then when I go to a lot of concerts too, like for music. And every time I go to a concert, I fucking leave. Even though I'm a comic, I don't know how to play one instrument. But when I leave, I always feel like really inspired to just give the audience the best show I possibly can and just be a great entertainer. And I always wish like I could play something, you know? And It just inspires me when I go. So I think it is incredible, dude, that you combine the two things that you love.
Thank you, buddy.
That are stand up and music. And I just keep thinking to myself all the time, like, what can I do to like bring that performance out a little bit and kind of give them something a little special, something to separate me from other comics, you know? I'm gonna be honest with you though, dude. Like, I'm not like, I don't like music in comedy. I don't mean what you're doing. I mean like when a comic goes on stage with a guitar and tries to do funny.
It's most of the time it's bad. Some people do it right.
Yeah.
There's either Tenacious D or there's like a girl being like, all right, this is a song about my boyfriend. And don't forget the balls when you give a hand job.
Yeah.
Play with the ball. Actually, that's a good song. I don't know why. But what I'm
that's
saying.
That's not my thing, though. Yeah, you know what I mean? But like, and then when I go to do a show and someone hired me for a gig and they're like, well, we're going to squeeze you between the bands that we hired. It's just like, fuck, you know, that whole thing. But there's something about like, I don't know, man. Like, I want to do like a stand-up show and then like, I'm fine with the band being after me. You know what I mean? Like, I just this energy that live music creates. And it's this like irreplaceable feeling of going and watching live entertainment.
Sure.
And so when people actually come out, I want to really stand up. That's like that's what's been on my mind. I want to try and stand out more. I want to make my performance level. I mean, I'm not going to play music. I don't do that. I just think it's so great what you do, man.
Let me tell you something. So I'm from the podcast that I'm doing, you know, you got to do research on the albums that we're breaking down.
Right.
And I'm learning a lot about everything, about the artists, about music, about art. But I was going through the Bonnie Raitt record. Bonnie Raitt, Give It Up. It was number 495 out of 500. And her father was this huge Broadway star, and she said this in interviews. But somebody asked her, "What was the best advice your father ever gave you?" And she said, "Make every night opening night."
Mm.
So go up there with that excitement,
yes,
and that energy. Every show, you got to have fun. You got to. You know, like you said, you're not me, and I don't want you to be me. And because that's not, if you tried to do what I do, that's not you. That's not authentic.
Yeah, I couldn't do
and,
it.
And if I tried to do what you do, it's the same thing. It wouldn't work. It's not authentic. You have to be authentic to yourself. So when you go on stage, don't give a fuck if the audience, don't write jokes for the audience.
No, yeah.
Write jokes for yourself. Be as much Augustino as you possibly can be. Because if you fail being true to yourself, you still won. You can't be upset about that because you go, well, that's me. I couldn't be more me. So go up there with that same fire that you have doing whatever it is, like just that same energy, that excitement, and go up there and just be yourself. And if you do that, you always win. And you're always comfortable as yourself. So that's the key. Just go up there and just be you. You know what I mean? Take control of your career and do whatever you want to do, whatever you love, whatever you're passionate about. If it's not comedy and music, it could just be straight comedy, and it could be political humor. I don't give a fuck. But just fucking do it with the excitement of that first show that you ever had, that energy, and like tell that joke like the first time you told it. Because if you love it, man, it's infectious. People will feel it. You know,
that's good advice, dude. Yeah. And then in the performance, yeah, just like it's opening night.
Yeah, dude. It's like you want to give the best performance you possibly can. Do it like it's the first time you ever did it.
The meditation is helping me before I go on stage. I really liked it. I don't know. I didn't read this anywhere or anything. I like to meditate in water. Like if I can find like a tub.
Like a bath. Dude, I bathe every day.
Even a hot shower. If nothing else before the...
I'm all about the soak, dude. I take baths.
No, but like right before you go on stage.
I don't know. That would be kind of hard. Hold on. Is there a bathroom here at the Ha Ha? Shower?
No, not at the club. Like right before you go over to the club. Like, you know, I just...
You gotta relax.
That's where I like to do
it. You gotta figure out a way to relax, man. But just, I'll tell you something. Even before, you don't have to. Just right before you go on stage, do this. Just close your eyes and just breathe 10 breaths. So that's actually 5 breaths. 5 breaths, just big breaths, like just in, out. Do that 5 times and just concentrate on your breathing. 5 big breaths, which is really 10. So in once, out 2. In 3, out 4. And do that 10 times, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And just control. If you're able to like center yourself and relax yourself. Because the reason we get excited is, and we get nervous, and when we get nervous, we fuck up what we're trying to say, is because we're in that fight or flight mode. Because you're not present. You're in your head.
Yeah.
So by breathing, because that's all you've got is your heartbeat and your breath. That's the only consistency. If you concentrate on that, like you're able to stop it. Like, dude, I wasn't present last night at the improv. You know, I was in my head and I didn't have fun. I did okay. I did well enough where I people were coming up and saying, great set. But I knew that I did a bad job. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I wasn't there. I didn't settle myself. I was literally just reciting my jokes instead of being
totally
my
know
material.
That feeling, dude. And the whole time you're reciting, you're in your own head.
Oh, like, my God. And then you
it's
know. The it's
just
like
so
dude,
not in the room.
So not in the room. You're fucking, they hate you.
What kind of performer
you
is that? What kind of, you
it's,
know what
it's,
I'm saying?
It's a human. Because you're in that fight or flight mode.
Yeah.
Like you're being attacked or you're scared.
That's what it is.
And it's like you just got to control that. And now that happened last night, it's not going to happen tonight. And it's going to happen again. But I'm able to limit that.
Yeah, man.
And by doing the breathing, the meditation, and being able to stay present, it's like my bad sets, you know, they're few and far between. Like I could start a set. Do you remember when you used to like, you're like, all right, you're nervous. And you go up there. And they don't like the first joke, but because they don't like the first joke and they didn't laugh, then you crumble and it's just dead silent for 8 minutes or 10 minutes because you just ate shit. Like, dude, like I'm able to go up there and if my first joke doesn't hit, I'm able to go, it's all right.
Yeah.
I got another one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'll get them. And I'm confident enough in myself. I believe in my material. I believe in myself. So like last night, dude, I came out strong. And then I started doing some more of my more like I do this. I have this whole bit about what not why racism's stupid. Ultimately, I'm saying how could you hate Mexicans when there are so many shittier races of people out there, right? and people, some a lot of white people think I'm being racist. because I'm shitting on Scandinavians. And I do kind of shit on Mexicans too, but all I'm doing is calling out how absurd, the absurdity of thinking that you're better than another race. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
And, but the white people sometimes get very, oh my God. Like, so they don't laugh and they don't realize that if they don't laugh, they're being more racist than I am. You know what I mean? Because if I say something like offensive about a race that is really just a ridiculous statement, if they don't laugh and they go, oh, that's them actually thinking that what I'm saying is true and I'm just calling out something true about a race. All I'm doing, I'm making a joke. It's a fucking joke.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was able to, you know, I started doing that material. I was nervous doing it. If I'm nervous doing that material, then the crowd feels it and they pull back. But I was able to, like, pull myself back into it and then get some more laughs. And then I kind of locked up again and then I lost them. Yeah. But then I got them back. And then I ended really strong.
But if you can think all that during your performance, you're thinking to yourself, like, oh, fucking white people, they're getting offended by this shit. If you actually have a second to think that to yourself, you were in your head, man.
Yes, but I'm able to, but literally, you're 100% right. Oh, I was completely in my head last night. You know, I had to follow D'Elia, and he's a crusher. And then the booker of the club was there, so that also added to it. And then also, the whole day, I was very, you know, I had meditated, and I had been, you know, I had a very... I was already psyching myself out for the show prior to the show. Mm. So before I even got there, I was already in my head like, you're not going to have a good set tonight. But I got out of it.
We should probably get the fuck out of here, dude. Fuck. Tell people how they can find your podcast.
Well, first of all, you can find me on social media, Josh Adam Myers, on all social media. Go to my website, joshadammyers.com. And for everything, the 500, it's called The 500 with Josh Adam Myers. Go to the500podcast.com, and it'll give you a link to every platform. It's really cool what people do. Not only do we break down these 500 great albums, at the end of every episode, we play new music from artists that were directly influenced by the album or the artist we're talking about. And then also every comic that comes on the show, an artist and whoever, because we've got like the guitarist from Foo Fighters coming up. We've got some really cool guests, Bill Burr, Jim Jefferies, Joey Diaz is going to do it, Segura. But what we do is every guest on the show makes a mixtape for the audience, and we post that on Spotify, Apple Music. There's a lot of really cool things in this podcast, people. Join the movement. I call it a movement because we're moving our asses down to number one. And I just want you to be a part of it, man. I love it. And I'm really excited about it. And I want you to just be a part of my journey. So, yeah, follow me if you'd like. I'm not big on social media, but, you know, if you follow me, maybe I will be.
All right, cool, man.
I love you, buddy. Thank you for having me.
Love you too, bro. Thanks for coming. Any shows coming up?
Yeah. Thursday, Wednesday, I'm at the Improv for Comedy Juice. Thursday, December 20th, I am at the Comedy Store doing Shimmy Shimmy Ya. It's a show I do where comedians give away real things from their life. And then in April, I'm doing Moon Tower Comedy Festival in Austin, Texas, with Sal Volcano and Big J Okerson and David Spade. And I'm doing a live 500 podcast taping there, and I'm doing the goddamn Comedy Jam for 3 nights plus stand-up spots. And then a whole bunch of other festivals I'll be announcing soon. Just go to my website and shit.
Sweet, bro.
I love you.
Love you too, man.
Love you, man.
Yeah, guys, this December 26th, right after the day after Christmas, I got a show at the Comedy Store in the Belly Room. I'm going to have some awesome pop-ins over there. Check that out. The lineup will be announced, but I'm going to have some cool guys coming by. I've also, Phoenix, Arizona, House of Comedy. I'll be there the 27th through the 31st, so New Year's Eve week. And so that should be pretty fucking fun. There's like two shows that Monday on New Year's Eve. It's going to be great. And then San Jose Improv, I'll be there Valentine's weekend. And that's fucking it, you guys.
That's fucking it.
Don't forget to go to Masterclass. Click the link in the description. Help support the podcast. Sign up for a class today. And don't forget about the DeLorean Motor Company. Also, click the link in the description to get 15% off your own DeLorean Motor Company watch. And Josh and I have a spot to go do.
The ha-ha.
Let's head over there, buddy. Thanks for coming on, man.
Thank you, buddy, for having me.
It was nice to catch up with you. Fuck yeah, dude. And get deep into some shit.
Thanks, man.
It's good to hear you.
Oh, you're crazy, bitch, and the la 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 top of it.
Everyone's laughing.